and welcome to the first Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, John Gibson, and with me is Jim Allen. Hi, Jim. How are you this fine opening week of baseball?
Hi, John. I'm fine, and I hope you enjoyed the first week. It was kind of different.
Different, but you got to go to opening day. I did not. I was off.
I did. Opening day was special. We had the Eagles and the Marines, which was a great matchup. The two teams who were hit hardest by the earthquake, and they played a really good game, a lot of speed, a lot of excitement, and was very glad I was there. I do wish you could have been there as well.
I watched from home. I got to see two games instead of one, so that's always good, and no travel time. That's better.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that was travel time because of the morning earthquake. The main line to Chiba was out.
Yeah, we had another shaker. Seems like we're in constant motion here, but I got to see both games. They weren't canceled. It was a glorious day for baseball. Wish I could have been out there enjoying it, but I got to go the next day. So,
how was the crowd? How was the atmosphere the second day? Because the first day was kind of special, being opening day between those two teams.
Exactly, and it was about not the opposite, but it was sort of a letdown because opening day is a special day. Everybody wants to go out. But the second day, it turned into a regular, what we will probably expect from a lot of these day games that happen during the week is we had fewer people.
Right.
Enthusiasm was there. People were excited, but there were just fewer people. There were just fewer of them. But still a good day for baseball. It was nice and warm. It was another good game. So as long as we have good games, that's all I'm interested in. I love to see some good games.
I wonder about that because today I was at the Swallows Bay Stars game, and it was a Sunday afternoon at Jingu, but I wonder how often a Sunday afternoon game between the Bay Stars and Swallows is going to get 20,000 people at Jingu.
That's
in
true.
April.
That's not really likely unless there's some special promotion going on and some special player. Perhaps during interleague play when Yuki Saito makes an appearance. he's the popular name of the day as well.
Well, yes, at Jingu, too. That should be special.
Yeah. Well, we're glad you're joining us. We are going to be talking about a lot of things this year. Hopefully, you'll be right alongside of us and hopefully contributing as well. We'll accept emails from all the listeners, and we want to talk about the personalities in the game. We want to talk about the games themselves. We want to talk about the strategies, anything at all. We welcome your emails to guide us through and actually mold the program. Let's talk about how we ended up where we are. I came to Japan expecting to be returning to the States in about a year. And as I said, I've told you, I think before, 1 year turned into two and two into five and five into 10 and turned around. And I'm in my 21st year here in Japan.
Wow.
Hey, you've been here longer, huh?
This is true. It used to be 27 full years in September.
Good grief, good grief. So I actually wanted to start a monthly baseball magazine, and the reason I got into baseball in the first place was because I finally got a chance to go out and see Hiromitsu Ochiai when he was with the Dragons, and he's now the manager. And
who would have thunk that?
And he was a guy, he impressed me because I didn't think there were Japanese players like this who would just do what they want. I thought everything was regimented. I thought, you know, it was nothing short of a military style of training and everything. And I saw this guy strutting around like a peacock, doing whatever he wanted, and basically thumbing his nose at his manager. And I thought, well, geez, if their personality is like this, this must be a good league or an interesting league. And I got hooked, and I read Robert Whiting's book, You Gotta Have Wall.
Yep.
And then I read Warren Cromartie's book, Slugging It Out in Japan, and, you know, from there, I couldn't understand the language, but I certainly had fun watching baseball.
Yeah, well, it is a fun game, especially when half the charge is trying to figure out why they're doing what they're doing and why the announcers are getting so upset, or so excited about things that seem pretty mundane to the rest of us.
Mundane, exactly. It's just a lazy fly ball. Settle down.
Yeah.
So I started covering the games in 1995 when I started a paper with another American guy in Nagoya. And then we hooked up in 1999 for the Japan series when it came to Nagoya. And
don't mention the foul ball.
Which foul ball?
Okay, good. That's the best not mention. That's the best not mention I can have.
I can take a clue. What foul ball are we talking about?
No. Next topic.
Next topic. Oh, we're leaving our listeners hanging here. Not to mention our host.
Well, I play baseball well enough to break fingers, and a foul ball came zipped right past me in the press box during the 99 series, which was the first Japan series I covered.
Really? And it zipped right past you and did what to whose fingers?
Well, no, I was sitting next to the aisle and the door there, and it went through the door.
Oh.
It went through the, into the hallway back there, and I got out of the way. Let it go.
Very fine play. Let it be known that Javelin is not a great fielder. His fielding percentage is zero.
Exactly. No chances. I get no error on that. I didn't touch it.
So get us. Tell us how you got involved in baseball.
I've never gotten involved in baseball. They always leave me for obvious reasons.
As we just found out about.
Exactly. First time I got involved, the first time I remember coming in contact with a ball, somebody threw me a baseball, and wasn't quite certain how to catch it. It hit me in the square on the forehead.
How old were you, two?
No. No, I was my, like, the first day of Little League. I never caught a baseball before.
All righty. Well, obviously you never lived in the ghetto where things are thrown at you all the time, but hey.
I think it's going to be not baseball. It looked so friendly. Anyway, no, I was, you know, grew up, did the regular things, play ball as a kid, got out of it when I wasn't good enough to play Little League, came to Japan after college, had a job, but still found time to be interested in Japanese baseball and why they were doing what they were doing, which was the big question. How is it different? Who are the players? Who are the teams? What are their history? I just got just sucked into that, and I really never let it go.
Excellent. Well, if you want to read more about us, which I'm sure you don't, but you can on the Japanese baseball homepage, and everything's there in black and white.
JapaneseBaseball.com.
JapaneseBaseball.com. Everything's there in plain black and white, and you can get bored on your own time. let's start with clearing the bases. All right, this week's topic, the first topic I want to talk about is the, I don't know what to call it, okay? I'm calling it a low-impact ball.
Well, they're calling it the Tobinai ball, or the Toitsu ball, the ball that doesn't fly, or just the standard ball.
But they also have another Japanese word for it, which I heard on the broadcasts during the week while you were
out,
which was low-impact ball.
A low-impact ball. Well, so far, the news of the low-impact ball has been decidedly low-impact. There's been a lot of home runs.
There's been high-impact.
Yeah, well, there have been certainly a fair number of home runs, and I don't know why that is. I'm curious to ask the pitchers what they think.
Yeah, bad pitching is what I'm thinking. But
I think that could well be. I think we had a very normally, you know, when we – I talked to some players, and they, with the protracted and delayed start of the season and the lack of live game action, the consensus seemed to be, of course, among the hitters, the consensus seemed to be that the days off would favor the pitchers.
Right.
Yeah, like, where have we heard that one before?
Yeah.
Essentially because the pitchers can work out throwing the bullpen, whereas the hitters need to see live pitching to stay sharp and keep their timing.
Exactly.
I think it does go both ways. I mean, it's not throwing in the bullpen. It's not the same as throwing in a game. It's not the same as throwing in front of a crowd and with an umpire where every pitch matters.
Right. Well, I've seen a lot of pitches in the heart of the plate, and I don't care who you are or how old you are, you should be at least making some good contact with them. And some of them are flying out, and some of them are flying way out.
Okay.
So, I'm not sure that it's the ball so much as right now it doesn't seem like the pitchers have full control of where the ball is going to go when it leaves their hand.
Well, certainly, you know, I would know, not want to cast aspersions or make broad sweeping generalizations.
Oh, I'll do that for you.
Yeah, for once in my life. But, you know, why start now? But certainly when Japanese baseball is so regimented and the preparation schedules are so tightly planned and everything is so planned, I mean, whether it's the planning is well thought out or well executed is another matter, but the fact that everything is typically so well planned that when you get disruptions, they miss so many games that they expected to play, so many preseason games after the earthquake.
Right.
And teams were playing practice games and simulated games and just practicing, that everything gets a little fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes more a test of, I think, more a test of true skill.
Exactly. It's less data, less strategy, and more, okay, this is what I'm good at, and this is what I'm going to do, and I don't care what you're good at. I'm going to throw you my best pitch, and right. If you hit it, hit it.
Yeah, I tend to equate that with the interleague, too, where right. You're less familiar with the pitchers, and you're not going to be going into the plumbing the depths, you know, trying to figure out which fastball he's going to throw by the kind of underwear he's wearing that day.
Exactly. It's more like, you know, like an all-star game where, you know, let's get it going. Let's get out there and play. Let's enjoy the game. Whatever will be.
Well, the games have been pretty good. I mean, they've been entertaining, if more than perhaps high quality. But the other thing I've noticed, the games have been fast.
I've noticed that too, and I think I've talked to you about it the past two seasons, that the games start out in the first half of the season, seems that they're fast, and then they seem to hit a lull in the dog days, in the summer, July,
right,
and August,
that.
They seem to slow down. But at the beginning of the season, they seem to have a good pace. I think a lot of people are swinging at the first good strike that they get, and they know that there's a limit on the games. We have a 3.5-hour limit. We're trying to save energy because we're expecting rolling blackouts throughout the summer, and you know, I'm kind of glad about the limit, because I was thinking the other day as I was watching a game, I thought, do I want to have my air conditioning on at night when I get home, or do I want to see this game played out 12-8? And I'm thinking,
yeah, absolutely.
And I'm thinking, a good night's sleep is
yeah. I certainly think that I did have a thought that if they're going to put this 3.5-hour limit for no new extra innings, you know, they might want to scrap the 12 innings. But on the other hand, well, I just put some of you just want to put some of these games out of their misery,
so to speak. I think 12 innings, they'll never reach it.
Well, they already
Although we have reached it.
We did on the first day.
Yeah, on one time we did reach
the same day that Ken Belson, in a very, very well-written story otherwise, but the New York Times wrote that there would be no extra-inning games. We had on opening day, we had a 12-inning tie, so.
Nice timing. Nice timing.
Nice timing, indeed.
Good idea. All right, let's go on to the next topic, which is there were some injuries in the preseason that could potentially be, well, one was, two of them were in the preseason, one was in the first week here.
Right.
The preseason injuries were Shinosuke Abe, an all-star catcher with the Yomiuri Giants. He tore a calf muscle.
Yeah, he's big.
This player. That is, to me, a potentially hazardous injury for these Giants, whose pitching staff was questionable last year. Coming into this season, we don't really know. They've got some proven guys and some unproven guys and some older guys.
Right.
And they need a catcher who's got the savvy of an Abe, and they need a guy who can hit like Abe. The guy, you know, it's coming off a career year at the plate in terms of home runs. So
right.
This could really be damaging for them.
Well, it could be. With most things, it's, I'm sure, as much of it as a confidence level. We've seen this case. Catchers do get hurt. We have seen that Tsuroka has did a great job replacing Abe in 2008.
Right, yes, he did.
At the end of the season when Abe got hurt running the bases. And he did he certainly wasn't the reason they lost the Japan Series. So.
No, he played well.
He did. He had a good series, and
he played surprisingly well. I was surprised. I wasn't really concerned about what he was going to do at the plate because I felt like the Giants had so much potential behind the at the plate that they could cover what he was going to do. The problem was going to be him catching and calling games, and he did yeoman work back there. I mean, they didn't miss a beat in terms of the catching ability.
Right. Well, they also had Olbana as the pitching coach.
At the time, yes. He's now the Yokohama Bay Stars manager. He's in his second year there, but yeah, he was still the pitching coach, so he could call the pitches from the bench.
I think that did happen, in fact, in the Japan series where I think Olbana was calling the pitches.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of pitch calling from the bench at the moment now with guys like Kato Ken and Tsuruoka is back there again, Kazunari. But I would imagine there are still a lot of pitches are being called from the bench. So that's potentially damaging for them. And another catcher, Hokkaido Nippon Ham Fighters catcher.
The other Tsuruoka,
which is Shinya. He fouled a ball off of his face and had to have surgery for a depressed skull fracture. He's out 2 months.
2 months. Wow, that's gonna really affect his ping pong game. A lot of people might not know he was. We gotta find out if they still have that ping pong table in the Fighters Clubhouse up at Sapporo Dome that Trey Hillman put in 2007, because apparently Tsuruoka was the team champion.
Well, he's going to have to use a paddle to fix his head.
Oh, that's harsh.
Because you break – I mean, I cannot believe this. I didn't see the play, and I haven't seen replays on TV, so I don't know exactly where on his face that it hit him. But, my goodness, I don't know how much they're going to miss him either because they were playing some other people last year.
Yeah, Ono was a really effective. Well, he was, in fact, Ono, when he started the season, I think he had a stretch where they won the first 10 games that he caught.
Uh-huh.
He came out of college, and I think he did a really, really good job for them last year. So he can hit a little bit. He can catch. He doesn't have the familiarity with the staff that Tsuruoka has, but
right.
He's good. I also like Imanari, the other kid, but he's not very well proven.
No, yeah, young players, unproven players. Ono played today. He had a couple hits, but we'll keep an eye on that and how that pitching staff reacts during the. Yu Darvish got lit up pretty much in his opening day start, so. We'll have to see.
Well, I don't think we can blame that all on the catching.
Certainly we can't blame it all on the catching, but we can keep an eye on it. It's a small sample size. We'll see how it works out.
The other one we had was Kogubo.
Yes, which this could be potentially career-ending, you think? Because a guy hurts a hand at his age, breaks a bone in a hand. You don't bounce back from that.
Well, okay, first of all, Kokubo broke a leg and missed a season in 2003, and people were thinking...
Yeah, but that's 7 years ago, years ago. This is...
Yeah, okay.
This is a different guy, and it's not a hand. I mean, you can overcome those things with the feet because you're not using them to propel the ball. But
okay.
These hand injuries, I don't like it when players get hand injuries. It scares me. It's just like a pitcher and the elbow and the shoulder. Somebody says I got a blister, I'll sit him down. But these other things, you don't know what's going on in there. And
true.
A player gets a hand injury.
He's a tough guy, and he's he's done this before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's come back from a number of different injuries. I mean, heck, he's come back from a broken leg. He's come back from a tax evasion conviction.
You know, well, that hurt. That probably hurt the most, huh?
Good see.
Right in the wallet.
So he's pretty he's pretty steadfast. If he wants, if he can come back, he probably will. Now, of course, what you have to think is the Hawks got to be saying, well, geez, it's a good thing we got Alex Cabrera in the offseason. Geez, we'll just have to have him play first base.
That's true. He paid off the other day. He had a walk-off home run. But, and he can play first base. But, Kokubo, He's 40. He's going to be 40 in October.
Yeah, that is tough.
It is, you know, I don't think it's career ending. I think he can come back because it happened so early in the season, but
he did have a good year last year, but that's almost a reason. That just means that he has another chance to play this year, and he'll have another chance to prove himself next year, but if it doesn't come back, that could be it.
All right, well, we'll keep an eye on that. Next topic I wanted to talk about was these Bay Stars. They finished last place the past 3 years, and blah, 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 they're terrible.
yeah, but, you know, you can go that a number of different ways. I think the Bay Stars, there was some speculation that they were a worse team. They did have at some point, they had a worse record than they had the year before. But, you know, I did get to see a lot of Bay Stars games last year.
Good for you, I suppose.
And you did see a lot of pretty good games that they lost. And they also showed a lot of resilience. They showed a lot more character than they had in the past. I think they had horrible luck. I know that Mr. Obon is not always the most communicative person in the past, and he said over the winter that he would be more of a people person, which is, you know, more power to him.
Good luck. He spoke to the reporters. I think that was one of the things he didn't want to do as manager, is constantly be berated by these reporters and ask these questions, and the same questions on different days by different reporters, but the same question, different words, but the same question. And it seems he's fielding them a lot more lightly this year. He's not as stern as he is normally.
Well, I don't remember seeing him smiling when he walked past last year, and today he did nod and smile a little bit when he walked past me, which was maybe the first time that he's actually shown that he can smile to me in the last 20 years.
Yeah, well, the first time I talked to him, he mostly grunted, so you got to smile.
That must have been some kind of, sounded good on the tape.
Yeah, I don't think I still might have that tape somewhere, but this is a team that won, what, 48 games in 2008, 51 games in 2009, and 48 games last year. I don't think they had the pitching to make this little run here, or this little, I don't know, this great start that they've had. In a great start, you know, they were 2 games over .500, and now they're just a game over .500.
Well, they're 3-2, and Terminal Sledge has hit 5 home runs.
He's hit 5 home runs. He had 5 and 4 games. Now he's 5 and 6 games.
Right.
So, but that's still his home runs per bet. I saw the game the other day on Wednesday. He hits 3 home runs against Chunichi, drives in 7. They lose the game.
Yep.
Nobody else had an RBI. So,
well, they have 10, the Bay Stars have 10 home runs in 6 games, and, let's see, anybody else? Nobody's even close.
Well,
so
what, Alex
has 7?
Yeah. So, Alex Ramirez?
Alex Ramirez has a couple.
Giants. Yeah, he's got some. So, yeah, I think, you know, if they're gonna hit home runs and they're gonna save their pitching staff that way, they have a chance to stay in it, but I just can't see their pitching staff. I mean, some of the guys, Ejidi is a guy they picked up.
No, I don't think much of Ejidi.
I don't either, but he's throwing every day, so.
Okay.
he's not going to be thinking too much next month if he's throwing every day. He's going to be thinking, somebody save me. So we'll see how that plays out. It's good that they're having some success early. It's good to have these other teams, normally B-class teams, or teams that finish in the lower three. It's good to have them playing well at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, sure. Well, of course, because, you know, how else are they ever going to be in first place? They're not going to, you know, if they're 20 games under .500 in August, it doesn't matter how well they play in July, in September,
right,
and October, they're not going to be in first place, so.
All right. Well, good luck to them. We'll keep an eye on
them. Yeah, I think it's going to be fun. They, one of the great things about a team like the Bay Stars that hasn't had success, even more so than the Eagles, who have been up and down for the last couple of years,
mm-hmm,
is there's a desperation factor. And in a good sense, in that they're so bad that they're willing to try anything. So we're liable to see one of these guys. What you see is guys who might not normally get a chance. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got a pitcher, Maka, who I like.
Maka, yeah, he threw the other Takayuki.
He's not really a good, you know, he's not established as a really good pitcher, and he just basically is fastball, curveball.
Well, you know, I'm sorry to cut you off.
He's got a heck of a curveball.
Yeah, right? I saw him pitch the other day, and he reminds me of Shinji Imanaka.
Oh, yeah.
Left-hander throws these curveballs, 103, 102 on the radar gun. Kilometers per hour here. But a nice curve, and he freezes guys. He just doesn't have enough of a fastball or other pitches.
He's got a little movement on it, though.
He doesn't have good enough control or command of them yet.
That is the problem.
Keep people looking.
Always,
and so they can sit on the curve. Now, whether they can actually take the curve and drive it somewhere, that's another question. But, yeah, he pitched okay. He's going to have to work on it, but he can pitch on this level.
It's hard for, it's not impossible, but it is hard for a player who, without the velocity and with only two pitches, it's like, we're just making a list of reasons why he should just go out and dig his own grave. He doesn't have great velocity. He doesn't have great command, great location. He's only got two pitches, but we like him.
Yeah, good luck, son.
Yeah,
exactly. Keep working on it, son.
Exactly, but it should be fun. You're gonna see some fun stuff. Shogo Yamamoto started for him today. The Oryx guy, I've liked him since he pitched for the Kintetsu Buffaloes.
Yep. Another guy you like was throwing today, Masabuchi.
I did like him.
You did? Oh, well, past tense. Yeah. Uh-oh. And
I did like
full disclosure.
When he was a rookie, I liked him.
Full disclosure, I am a Chunichi Dragons fan. And Jim?
He's a Swallows.
The Swallows fan. So, yeah, I know you're saying you did like him, so you're ready to give up. I thought he pitched. I didn't get to see him.
No, he was good last year. And he was under the radar. 2 years ago, it looked like his career was over. 3 years ago, when he came up, he had a very nice fastball. Apparently, when he was in high school, all he did was throw his fastball. And when he turned pro, he didn't want to throw it in the strike zone. And it had great movement. People couldn't hit it, but he'd fall behind in the count. And then, you know, he had to come up with something that would reach the zone. And then he got smacked around a lot. So, not a good recipe for success. But today, he started the game like that, and then after he walked the bases loaded in the first inning, he came back, and he was, I'll say he was dominant, but he's going to force people to make some adjustments.
Well, good. He's got to be effective in the strike zone, or it doesn't matter how hard he throws. Nobody's going to swing at it.
Well, he doesn't throw as hard as he used to do. Of course, the other thing is that he used to throw sidearm, a little high sidearm.
He is.
And now he's a overhand three-quarters guy.
Yeah.
And it didn't look like he had any velocity to start the game, but he did hit 140 as it came back. I mean, he's hit 150 before he started throwing overhand.
All right. Well, we'll see how that develops. If he pitches well and if some other guys perform in that rotation for the Swallows, they'll be there. So
they have the possibility, and they've got the good defense to go with it. So the only question is, are they going to score runs? And that's a big question.
We shall see.
All right.
Just a week. We don't have a large enough sample size to figure it out. But lots of time.
Yeah, lots of fun.
On to the next topic, which is Big Brother. Tomoaki Kanemoto had his consecutive game streak snapped at 1766. 1700.
Yeah, that's something we weren't expecting to see because he was able to play defense this year.
Well, I was watching the game and think with a power hitter up there, and there's two outs, and he's on first, and you got a power hitter up there, so I didn't expect him to even try to steal him. Maybe he was trying to catch the Dragons off guard, but he got thrown out. This is the eighth inning.
Okay.
Kanemoto was up as a pinch hitter. So the announcers were talking about it. They say, well, we don't know what's happening. We're not sure if Kanemoto is going to come out and play defense or not. If he doesn't come out and play defense, he's out of the game, and it'll be the end of his streak.
Right.
And when, you know, the announcers kept saying, we're not sure that the manager knows this. Now, does he realize what's happening? Does he realize
what's happening? Do you think Okada was still managing the team?
Maybe they didn't think at all. So he doesn't come out. He doesn't play defense. And they're talking about it. They said, this is the end of the streak. And they start talking about it. It's the second longest consecutive games played streak in Japan.
Wow.
The Hiroshima Carps' Sachio Kinugasa.
Kinugasa.
Kinugasa had the record with 2,215. And that's a lot too.
You reckon?
Amazing. That's amazing.
You reckon?
I don't even know that I've gotten up that many consecutive days and wanted to get out of bed.
Well, Kinugasa is a great guy. I mean, he's just an amazing player. Kanemoto too, for that matter. And, you know, you gotta hand it to him and you gotta really give him credit for taking himself out of the line, you know, out of the starting lineup last year when he couldn't play defense.
He was injured, exactly. Yeah. You say, look, I can't throw, I'm hurting the team, take me out, I'll pinch hit when you need somebody to produce or maybe, you know, there's a good situation for RBIs and I'll try to help the team that way, but I'm not helping the team by being out there, so take me out. It was
helpful. And it's hard in Japan because they love their streaks so much. This is one of the peculiar things, is teams do things that are just ass backwards to keep player streaks going.
Right, right.
You know, like,
I think I remember you writing a column about that last year.
I did that. You know, the famous example was, Hideki Matsui had a consecutive game streak and they used him, he couldn't swing. Uh-huh. And he could barely throw. But they used him as a defensive replacement in center field because
in center of all places. Oh, yeah.
Well, it was July, you know, so it wasn't putting the season in risk, but it was so, you know, contrary to what an American thinks, you know, the game is for, which is not records. It's, you know, you get records in the pursuit of a pennant.
Exactly. Exactly.
And if you're just going for records, then what's the point of playing the game?
Exactly. And speaking of the point, I think we're getting a little long here, so we're going to try to cut it short. Next week we'll probably be talking about some of these rookie pitchers who will have gone out for their second appearances, some of the rookie starters. Guys are in the rotation. Yuki Saito pitched today, Yuya Fukui for the Hiroshima Carp. And we'll see where the home runs are, and we'll hopefully field some of your questions. You can email us at yakujohn@gmail.com. That's yakyujohn@gmail.com. And let us know what you think. Ask us questions. We'll try to do some research. We have a crack crew of research people named John and Jim. And we'll try to look it up.
There's some crack somewhere there.
And we'll try to look up things, and we're certainly looking for your input, and we want to at least discuss the game of baseball with you guys.
Writing
for a newspaper, all you do is it's just one way. We write the story, and you guys read. So this is a chance for people to participate. So we're looking forward to seeing what you have to say.
Yeah, we got a great game here in Japan. Let's enjoy it.
What are you going to be writing about in your column, The Hot Corner, this week?
I think we're going to be talking about Masabuchi.
All right. I might be talking about the low-impact ball when my once-a-month column appears, but I don't have to worry about it this week. It'll probably be the week after next when I sit down to write. So until next time, this is John Gibson.
This is Jim Allen.
And this has been Japan Baseball Weekly. Thank you for listening.
All right.
Bye-bye.